My text is in the Gospel according to Luke, and chapter 15, and this phrase from verse 17. And when he came to himself, I think it's a very striking phrase. And when he came to himself. Now, this is the story of the long and often painful journey of the soul to God. And yet it is very precious to us all. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that gave this account, and therefore we cannot afford to ignore such a warning and advice. So the words really, well, they are. They are spoken by Christ. Imagine that now. All those years ago, we read words in our language here that Jesus Christ himself said to the people round about him. Now, the great issue behind it all is our eternal destiny, whether it is hell or heaven. That's the issue. Now, hear the words of Jesus in Matthew 25. We know regarding hell, there are degrees of suffering in hell. And I often used to think that the worst suffering would be for those who done appalling atrocities. But when are you hurt the most? Are you hurt by your enemies, or would you be hurt if your closest friend turned against you? I think the latter. And it is they that have heard and been in that background and turned away from him that grieve him most of all. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's very comforting. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. One's a very encouraging one, the invitation by God of those who have loved his Saviour. And the other is a very firm statement to get out of his sight and go to their destination. It is a long journey. The motive is to help those who are seeking that they may learn how. Now, it is a critical and an important step in life. The great aim is to come to that place where we know the Almighty God as our Father. So we start there. Do you know God? You might say, yes, I believe in God. And I really truly believe him as creator and sovereign. But do you know him as Father? When you pray, are you able to say, Oh, my Father, in that way? Is there that intimate relationship that by some miracle of grace that you belong to him? There are three parables in this chapter, one regarding a lost sheep, one regarding a lost coin, and the third, the prodigal son. Now, regarding the sheep and the coin, they are quite helpless. They cannot do anything, they cannot respond. But regarding the son, he is able to think, to respond, to refuse, and to take action. That's the difference. Now, let us look at the sad condition. A father had two sons. Now, this is a home, probably a very lovely little home. A father had two sons, and all seemed well. Yet there was discontent underneath. I'll give you an example, not of sons, but a very strange one. And it didn't take me long to know there's something wrong. I was a student and was preaching in a certain chapel, we used to ask one another, well, where are you preaching? And I said, where I was preaching. And they said, oh. And I thought that maybe was a note of admiration, you know, fancy being invited to preach there. But it wasn't. I went to the chapel house for dinner with the chapel house gentleman. And we sat in the front room waiting for dinner to be ready. And then the lady's head popped by the door and she said, will you tell Mr. Jones that dinner is ready? So I said, Mr. Jones, Mrs. Jones says your dinner is ready. He said, tell Mrs. Jones that I'm coming. This is odd. So we sat at the table, and he said, will you ask Mrs. Jones if I may have another potato? And she said, will you tell Mr. Jones he's had quite enough? Well, I've never been so glad to go to Sunday school. I've been always glad to go to Sunday school, but I was extremely glad. It didn't take me long that in this sad house, there was an undercurrent. They looked all right. They were friendly with me. You know, nice and clean. The food was good. But something was wrong. Something terrible was wrong. And so here these two sons. He was pleased with his sons. He loved them. Yet you didn't need to be there very long to know something was wrong. You might say, whatever can there be? Father and sons, why should there be? But there was. There was a conflict. And this conflict led to great sorrow and heartbreak of a loving father. Now in Luke 15, verses 11 and 12, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided to them his living. He's a generous man and a kind man. Already we have a glimpse into the young man's heart, so often repeated along the ages. Why did he want to go? Well, you can make your choice. Greed, he wanted to share now. Lust, he wanted to spend it on immoral things. Rebellion against the authority of the home. Anger with life and anger with everybody. And dissatisfaction with home life. That's his boy. You can add a bit more to that, but that's a brief survey. He wanted his freedom and to enjoy life to the full with similar people to himself. That's what he wanted. Well, you might say, fair play. He's young. We shouldn't put too much pressure on him. And that's the big word today. Don't put pressure on people. But to let them do what they want. Let them do what they like. If they want to do that, let them do that. Well, he did. He went that way. Caring nothing. He never gave a thought. This is, I think, the worst part for me. He never gave a thought for his father. Not a thought. How does my father feel? What does he think about my going like this? He was a foolish young man. In not many days hence after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So we are told exactly what he wanted. He wasted it all with that kind of life. At this stage, he is quite unapproachable. It would be useless to talk to him. Quite unapproachable. He clings to his miserable friends. And we are influenced by our friends. And you can know a man by his friends. He will not admit his mistake. He will not. Although it wasted everything. He went to what we call the far country. In essence, this really means far from God. It can be geographically far. It can be in the same home, the same place, the same country, same town, but far. Far from God. What a terrible thing. to be far from God. We know that this story is repeated over and over again. Sin upon sin and sorrow upon sorrow piled up. However, circumstances changed, and it happens. We can't say, at every dawn is another lovely day and I can sin as I like. We can't guarantee tomorrow. Indeed, we cannot guarantee the next hour. But certainly we cannot guarantee tomorrow. But this man lived like that. He said, something will turn up, I'll be all right. I've got good friends. And when he had spent all, and this is a change of circumstances, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He'd never had that before. He had plenty at home, and with the money he had from his father, he had plenty to spend on whatever he liked. This young man had to learn the hard way. There is no easy way. It is always the hard way. He saw the hard side of life. He went to his friends. They were not friends. They were just whatever they were, but not friends. He had relied on his money, and he relied upon unreliable friends for his happiness and for his joy. What a foolish man to rely upon fickle friends and money for joy. Both had gone, and they are replaced by insecurity and unhappiness. That's a correct picture, do you agree? A correct picture that happens over and over and over in millions of homes. But God knows how to deal with rebellious young men. He is in a desperate plight. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And what did he do? Well, I don't know if you call it kindness. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine, pigs, for a Jew. He gave him that job. Well, he had plenty to eat. The same food as the pigs ate. That's how low he came. From a lovely farm, from a kind father, probably an affectionate brother at one time, to a far country, loneliness, fear, poverty, pigs. So he goes very low. You might say, what a pity, what a pity. I don't know. I think this was part of the providence of God dealing with him. This was total degradation. That is how far he fell. Sin can be very, very cruel and is incapable of mercy. Is that not right? Sin is cruel. Sin will remind yourself that you are a sinner. It's cruel and totally incapable of mercy in your heart. No one wanted to know him. Imagine him going to a door, and as they see him, they slam the door. No one wanted to know him. That is how cruel this world can be. It is useless to seek help where help can never be found. In this verse, and he would fain fill his belly with the husks that swine did eat, and no man gave it to him. No man. It is total loneliness. This is the condition of the believer here, or the unbeliever. Now then, let me describe it more doctrinally. In Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Now that is a description of any unconverted person. Listen to it carefully. To be without Christ was the only way to God. To be without Christ. to be aliens or strangers to the Commonwealth of Israel, to the people of God, strangers to the people of God, and strangers to the promises of the Bible. They do not apply to you. Having no hope, having no hope, and without God in this world, I think for me, the picture of hopelessness once was in the painting by, I am forgetting now, Leonardo da Vinci. Yes, in the Great Judgment, the great painting. And I've only seen a print. There's one part that's in this page I saw of the judgment. The angels of the book of life and the angels of the book of death. And God has just condemned one sinner. And that's all the picture is a man with his hands cupped in his hands. But even in this print, the total, total despair of unending hell were in those eyes. That's it. Without Christ, aliens from the people of God, strangers from every promises in the Bible, no hope, no hope, and without God in this world. That's the condition of the unbeliever. No home addressed, no fixed abode. Now, a serious consideration. There is a stir in this man's heart. Now, what is this? It is a work of the Holy Spirit. You know, we are often in danger of being Binitarians rather than Trinitarians. We forget the work of the Holy Spirit. It is vast. He's the one that applies things and leads us. Now then, it is the Holy Spirit that invades the heart of a man so far, of a man so destitute of anything. It is the Holy Spirit quietly sent by the Father into that man's soul. And what does it do? It takes away the principle of death and replaces it with the principle of life. The journey has begun. The journey home. Before he thinks of saying, Father, before he thinks of going home, it has begun. We call it regeneration. So in some, this happens. We begin to see our condition and now he's being enlightened. Now, you can see what I mean. Here's the verse. And when he came to himself, however would he come to himself, other than there had been a work of grace in the depth of his soul? That's the only way that could have happened. If that had not happened, there would be no line there saying he came to himself, but was left to himself rather than came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He's way off yet. But he says, though, even in my father's home, he treats them well, the servants. They've got bread to eat. And look at me. I've been living with the pigs. I'm eating the husks that they have. I'm in total degradation. And my wealthy, friendly friends, when I had wealth, have gone. I relied on the wrong things. I built on the wrong things. He's beginning to see my heart was wrong. My heart was wrong. It is a vital turning point. It is the Holy Spirit that awakens the soul and shows us a dreadful condition that we are in. This realization has a profound effect. We begin to consider our end. From now on, the soul begins to consider its eternal destiny. Where am I going? Am I hurtling full throttle to hell? Or am I walking to Zion, the beautiful city of God? Which is it? And begin to consider destiny. He is awakened up from wrath to flee and begins to turn Godward. And this is what he says. Listen to the turning. It's beautiful. I will arise. I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. At best, that's all I desire, to be on the fringe of thy farm as a servant. In any soul, this is a critical time. An awakened soul changes direction. He gets up from amongst the swine and makes his way wearily home. I will go to my Father. The determination is turned to reality, that vital step. And he arose and came to his Father. Now then, what a father. He could have said, if he comes across that my boundary there, I'll send somebody to send him away. He doesn't deserve anything. He's a rotter. No. He'd been opening the front door, looking through the window. He'd been walking a little way down. I wonder if he'll come back. I wonder if he'll come back. You see, this father's heart was full of compassion. Do you know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, I don't know what kind of eyesight his father had, but he was good here. But when he was a great way off, he saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. My boy's back. That's how the father felt. And that's the love of the father. So this return involves the mind. I think. It involves his heart. I want and will. I'll start my journey to God. Have you come to yourself? Or in other words, have you come to your spiritual senses? A father's welcome awaits you. Maybe somebody here tonight, or somebody who's listening. Listen now, whoever's on this new system that you have. Are you far away? Come back, my dear child. Come back to God. Why are we here? Why is there a creation? God. And God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ and the Son of God, who's made a way for sinful people to come to him. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the law of God. What this young man never did, Jesus did for him. He loved God. He loved his neighbor. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the law of God. And also, he would have said, I'm speaking as if he was this young man, give me all your sin, all the harlots you've been with. Give me all your vile things. Put them on me. Put all the rubble of your life on me. But the punishment is death. I know. I will die for you. And on the cross, the blood of Christ is shed. And when we believe, we are washed. When we believe, he robes us in the beauty of Christ. Far before time, beyond creation's dawn, before the sun and moon and stars were born, salvation's way for sinners lost and done was counseled forth by God, the three in one. You see, the mercy towards you, if you're believing tonight, has been on the way from eternity. Has such an errand of mercy reached your heart yet? Are you a forgiven sinner? This is the only way. Now, a solemn confession, the vital experience. And he said it to him, to arrive now, Father, I have sinned against heaven and thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. It doesn't go much further. He sinned against heaven, he had, and against God and his Father. This is conviction. This is repentance. He regrets it now. He's sorry for his wasted life. And this is necessary. I am no worthy. He was no more worthy in God's sight. He had nothing to offer to God. Only repentance. Would you know where you get that? From God. And faith. Do you know where faith comes from? By grace I save through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. To be right with God. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. That is, drench him in Christ. Cover him in Christ. Make him clean in Christ. And make him so that he's presentable and lovely. He's my son. This is the Lord dressing the forgiven sinner, washed in the blood of Christ, and dressed in the life of the robe of righteousness of Christ. And total acceptance. When a sinner is converted, heaven rejoices. And in this home there was rejoicing. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. There is great joy in the heart of God with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that a poor sinner, he was lost and rebellious, now is humble and unbelieving. For this my son was dead. And it's alive again. He was lost and is found. It's a lovely thought, isn't it? Fact. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. Anybody listening, do you want to come back to him? Do you want in death? Do you want him really for yourself? Let me read you a lovely hymn. Now, I have to explain a bit of a Hebrew to you. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the righteousness of God. I will use a Hebrew bit, but remember Jehovah, the righteousness of God, the purity of God. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my Lord, didn't care. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, many friends told me of the gospel and forgiveness of sins. But Jehovah says, again, was nothing to me. It just went over my head, it meant nothing. Like tears of the daughters of Zion, the droll, I wept when the waters went over soul. Yet thought not that my sins had nailed to the tree. Jehovah says, Ken was nothing to me. The fact that they said he died for sins meant nothing to me. When free grace awoke me by light from on high, when legal fear shook me, I became frightened. I trembled to die, I was afraid of dying. No refuge, no safety in self could I see. I couldn't have got anything that would save me. Jehovah, says Kenu, my Savior must be. I need him. My terrors all vanished before the sweet name. My guilty fears banished with boldness I came. To drink at the fountain, life-giving and free. Jehovah, says Kenu, was all things to me. And treading the valley, a shadow of death, this watchword shall rally my faltering breath. For when from life's fever my God set me free, Jehovah said, Kenu, my death song shall be. To believe like that. Some say, oh, well, I believe just in annihilation. Last breath finished. wrong. As I say, universalism, everybody saved, wrong. Salvation in Christ is the only one, the only way. The beauty, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, so gracious, so full of love, such sacrificial love. We must come to our spiritual senses and consider eternal values. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Come now, rise and go to your Father, and go to your Father. Now, over here, this hymn book, I'm looking at the hymn now. Are you able to say this? And if you are, say quietly in your heart, blessed assurance. Huh? You know it. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. My dear friends here and through this little microphone, what is your story? What is your story? Rise now and make haste to your Father through Jesus Christ, and you'll have blessed assurance, and that also will be your story. Now shall we pray? Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we could come to thee. We pray that there will be a time soon when multitudes will come to thee. We see multitudes in all other sorts of occupations and pleasure, but so few. When all of us come to chapel to worship, we hardly see anybody that's obviously going to worship thee. It wasn't like that. Lord, it must not be like that. There can be a change. Thou art the only one that can change a heart and change a nation. Hear us for thy name's sake. Amen.